Text tonight is found in verse 2 of that passage we read together, and it's those words that Jesus said to the man sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." The Lord Jesus Christ had a very unique life. First of all, it was a sinless life. The Bible says he knew no sin. He did no sin, and neither was any guile found in his mouth. Pontius Pilate had to say, "I find no fault in him at all." Judas Iscariot said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." The centurion who crucified him said, "Truly, this is a righteous man." He never thought a wrong thought, did a wrong deed, or said a wrong word. He was completely sinless. And it was also a life of service. The Bible says he went about doing good, healing the sick, feeding the multitudes, cleansing the lepers, opening the eyes of the blind, and preaching the word of God. And in our passage tonight, he is in his own city, and he's in a house, and he's preaching God's word. And the house is filled with people, and outside it's packed too. People standing at the windows and the doors trying to get something of the word of God that he was preaching. Along come four men with carrying a bed, and on that bed was a man sick of the palsy, unable to walk or do anything for himself. They try to get in, but they cannot. So they go up onto the roof, the flat roof of the Eastern House. They break it up and they let him down to where Jesus is. And Jesus, seeing their faith, says, "Their son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." And that's what we want to look at tonight, the forgiveness of sins. There's four things we want you to notice. First of all, the importance of sins forgiven. This is more important than anything. It's actually more important than good health. Now, good health is important. It's good to be able to get out of bed in the morning, feed yourself, and go and do what you need to do during the day, work or whatever it is. It's good to have good health. But the Lord Jesus Christ healed this man spiritually before he healed him physically. And that shows how important this is. It's more important than having great wealth. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You can have all the wealth of this world and die and go out to the lost eternity, and there you'll find you have absolutely nothing. You're just a lost soul. We read in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man who died, and he opened his eyes in hell, and he cried out for Lazarus to come and dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. He realized he was nothing. He was just a lost soul in a lost sinner's hell. And this is more important than anything. You see, my friend, if your sins are not forgiven, you will not enjoy peace with God. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin puts enmity between you and your God. Sin makes you the enemy of God. The Bible says the wrath of God abideth upon you. But if you put your faith and trust in Christ, then that enmity will go, and you will enjoy peace with God and the peace of God. If our sins are not forgiven, we will never be in heaven. Jesus said, I go my way, and ye shall die, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whither I am, ye cannot be. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven tonight. He went to the cross. He died. The third day he rose again. And he ascended into heaven. And he's sitting at God's right hand. But if you die in your sin, you can't go there. And there's only one other place you will be. And that's in a lost sinner's hell. And that's in a lost eternity. So if our sins are not forgiven, we're not ready to die. We read those words in 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We read the words of the psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But if you're not saved, you can't say that. You can't say, O death, where is thy sting? You can't say, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because you're still in your sin. And you're still not ready to die. So you're not. If our sins are not forgiven, we're not ready to meet God. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Beloved, today, one day you will meet him. You will stand before him. And the books will be open. And you must prepare for that day. And there's only one way and one place you can prepare for it. By putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you prepare for it. At the minute you're not ready to meet God. If you stood before God now, you'd hear those words, depart from me, you sinner. I never knew you. That's why you need to be saved. That's why you need to be born again and washed in the crimson tide of the precious blood. And if our sins are not ready, are not forgiven, our names are not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's only those whose names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in heaven. See how important this is, friend. This is not an optional extra. I have a friend at Bonbridge, and we run about together and all. But we're glad to say he's saved now. But before he was saved, he just thought everybody was going to heaven. Some were going through church and reading the Bible. He was going through the pub and the boogies. But everybody was going to heaven. I'm glad he doesn't know that now. But that's not it, friend. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you're going to be in heaven, you must put your faith and trust in Christ. You must receive him as your Savior. And he will wash away all your guilt, all your sin, and make you ready to go to be with him. And then we have the reality of sins forgiven. You see, friend, you can know your sins forgiven. Some people say you can't know that. That's presumptuous. But you can know it. The Apostle Paul, he knew it. He said, having a desire to depart to be with Christ is far better. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I was chief. But he knew his sins forgiven. The dying thief knew it. As he hung on the cross beside Christ, he turned and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that dear man closed his eyes in death and went to be with the Lord. He knew where he was going before he died. The apostles, Peter, James, John, and many, many more people, thousands of people, know their sins forgiven, know it's well with your soul. And this dear man here, sick of the palsy, can hardly move a muscle, has just entered into it. Jesus said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins were forgiven you." And beloved, you also can know it tonight. You can know your sins forgiven. This is the reality of the gospel, friend. This is why it's called the good news, the gospel of Christ. You can put your faith and trust in Christ and know your sins forgiven. Know it's well with your soul. So is it. Now, what does God do with our sin? Well, he removes them. The psalmist says, "And as far as the east is from the west, so far doth he remove our transgressions from us." He removes our sin. And you can't measure the east from the west. You can't measure how far he removes our sin. And then he blots them out as a thick cloud. Isaiah 44 says, he blots them out, he doesn't see them. And the Bible says, he casts them behind his back. Isaiah 38. And someone says he doesn't look round to see where they go. And then he casts them in to the depths of the sea. Not the depths of a river. Rivers can dry up, but into the depths of the sea. And he says he remembers them no more. He says their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It's good to know your sins are forgiven. And it's good to know the Lord Jesus doesn't remember your sin anymore. And then we have the joy of sins forgiven. Jesus said to this dear man, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven you." I believe this dear man, he was brought to get physically healed. He was sick of the palsy. But I believe the greatest burden on his heart was for his sin. And Jesus seen that. The Bible says, "Man looketh in the outward appearance, God looketh in the heart." And Jesus looked at his heart, and he saw the burden of his heart was for his sin. And he said, "Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." There's a joy, friend, in knowing your sins forgiven. People think salvation will rob them of their joy. Then they'll be able to go where they want or do what they want, and they'll be most miserable. Salvation gives you real, lasting joy. So it does. First of all, we have the nature of this joy. This is joy because you're having peace with God, knowing you're no longer an enemy of God, no longer God's, you know, God's not your enemy. You have peace with God. And that's a wonderful thing to know. There's a joy in knowing that there's a home for you in heaven. The Apostle Paul could say, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. That's not being presumptuous. That's knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing God has made his peace with you, and you have a home in heaven. And that's a wonderful thing to know, friend. There's a joy in knowing you're ready to die. You can look at death and say, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" You can go home tonight, put your head in the pillow, and know whatever happens, you'll go to be with Christ. And that's a wonderful thing to know. It's well with your soul. And there's a joy in knowing that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, because only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in heaven. the joy of salvation. And there's a joy in knowing that one day you will be with Christ. One day you'll be like him for all of God's eternity. That's a wonderful thing to know, so it is. And this joy will never end. It never ends in life, so it does. And it never ends in death. And it'll enjoy peace and joy for all eternity. No wonder Jesus said to this dear man, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Oh, my friend tonight, you come to Christ, you get saved, you go home rejoicing, knowing the joy of the Lord in your heart, and be with him. And then last of all, there's only one, the only one who can forgive your sins. Verse 6, sir, says, "That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go on to thine house." Being a Jew could do nothing for this dear man. The scribes and Pharisees, they couldn't do anything. They can criticize and find fault, but they couldn't do anything. Neither could his friends, but who brought him to Jesus, but they brought him to the right one. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can forgive his sins, this man. And it's to see him with you tonight, friend. Religion can do nothing for you. You can be steeped in religion. You can join a church. You can sing in a choir. You can take Sunday school. You can maybe fast and go on pilgrimage and all of these things. But that will do nothing for you. That will not get you into heaven. So it won't. Ministers, pastors, evangelists can do nothing for you in their own. But if they're a sea of men and they love the Lord, they would certainly seek to point you to Jesus. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who can forgive your sins, who can wash them away in the precious blood of the Lamb. And there's only one who came into this world to save sinners. Again, we read that verse of Peter, of the Apostle Paul, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's the only one who lived a sinless life, perfectly kept the law of God. And that's important, because if the Lord Jesus Christ had sinned, or if he had broken God's law, he could not have saved anyone. He would need a Savior himself. But the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless, and he's the only one who lived a sinless life and perfectly kept the law of God. He's the only one who died an atoning death for sinners. Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid in him the iniquity of us all. It tells us in the New Testament, he died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. He's the only one who rose again from the dead, who ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says, the work of God is finished. He sat down because he had finished the work of salvation. And as well as that, he's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. Friend, he's the only one who can forgive your sin. So he is. And he's coming back again one day to take us home to be with him. And he's the only one who can do these things. Oh, friend, tonight we pray that you will put your faith and trust in Christ and go home rejoicing, knowing it's well with your soul. The hymn writer said these words, "Is there anyone can help us who can give a sinner peace when his heart is burdened down with sin and woe? Who can speak a word of pardon that affords a sweet release and whose blood can wash and make us white as snow?" Yes, there's one, only one, the blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When afflictions press the soul and waves of sorrow roll, and you need a friend to help you, he's the one. Oh, beloved, tonight, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him. You'll never regret it. I've said before, I never regret getting saved. I never regret it in life, and that regret it in death, and that regret it in eternity. And you'll be the same, because the Christian life is the best life. It's a life of joy. It's a life of peace, so it is. And you'll never regret getting saved. You'll never regret it in life. You'll never regret it in death. And you'll never regret it in eternity. But if you don't get saved, well, you will regret it. Maybe not in life, but when it comes to death, you'll regret it. And you'll regret it for all eternity. You come to Christ. Put your faith and trust in him. Go home rejoicing, knowing it's well with your soul. If I can help you at all tonight, I'm your servant for Christ's sake. I'd love to open that Bible and point you to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. We have